Chapter 45. The French cruise liner Dauphine was scheduled for a week-long voyage up the Alaskan coast before returning to its home port of Vancouver. But a major outbreak of gastrointestinal illness had sickened nearly 300 passengers, forcing the captain to shorten the trip in fear that a large number would require hospitalization. At just over 950 feet, the Dauphine was one of the largest, as well as newest, cruise ships plying the Inside Passage. With three heated swimming pools, eight restaurants, and an enormous glass-walled observation lounge above the bridge, she carried 2,100 passengers in high comfort and luxury. Standing on the Gill Island shoreline, Dirk and Summer gazed at the gleaming white liner on approach and saw only a ship of death. The toxic carbon dioxide gas still erupted from the seven pipe outlets, expanding the vapor cloud for over a half mile in every direction. A slight westerly breeze kept the gas away from Gill Island, but pushed it farther across the strait. The Dauphine would take nearly 5 minutes to pass through the cloud, ample time for the heavy carbon dioxide to infiltrate the ducts and air conditioning systems throughout the vessel. Displacing the oxygen in the air, the gas would bring quick death to every portion of the ship.
"There must be thousands of people aboard," Summer observed soberly. "We've got to warn them."
"Maybe there's a radio in the hut," Dirk said. They bolted into the fishing hut, ignoring the mumblings from Trevor as they tore the small shack apart. But there was no radio. Stepping outside, Dirk looked into the billow of white gas, trying to spot the research boat. It was hopelessly concealed inside the vapor cloud. "How much air do you have left in your tank?" he asked Summer hurriedly. "I can try to get back to the boat and call them on the marine radio, but I sucked my tank dry."
"No, you can't," Summer said, shaking her head. "My tank is almost empty as well, because we had to share air. You'd never make it back to the boat alive. I won't let you go."
Dirk accepted his sister's plea, knowing it would likely be a fatal attempt. He desperately searched around, looking for some way to alert the ship. Then he spotted the large barrel next to the hut. Rushing over to the grime-covered drum, he placed his hands against the top lid and shoved. The barrel resisted, then lifted with a slight sloshing sound, telling him it was nearly full. He unscrewed a cap on the top and stuck a finger in, then sniffed the liquid inside.
"Gasoline," he said as Summer approached. "An extra supply for the fishermen to refuel their boats." "We can light a bonfire," Summer suggested excitedly.
"Yes," Dirk said with a slow nod. "Or perhaps something a little more conspicuous." The Dauphine's captain happened to be on the bridge checking the weather forecast when the executive officer called to him.
"Captain, there appears to be an obstruction in the water directly ahead."
The captain finished reading the weather report, then casually stepped over to the exec, who held a pair of high-powered binoculars to his eyes. With the whales, dolphins, and stray logs from the lumber boats, there always appeared to be floating obstructions in the passage. None of it was ever cause for concern to the big ship, which just plowed through any debris like so many toothpicks.
"Half a mile ahead, sir," the exec said, passing over the binoculars.
The captain raised the glasses, viewing a billowing white cloud of fog in their path. Just ahead of the fog was a low-lying object in the water that sprouted a black hump and a smaller adjacent blue hump. The captain studied the object for nearly a minute, adjusting the focus of the binoculars.
"There's a man in the water," he suddenly blurted. "Looks to be a diver. Helm, decrease speed to 5 knots and prepare for a course adjustment."
He handed the binoculars back to the exec, then stepped over to a color monitor, which displayed their position against a nautical chart of the passage. He studied the immediate water depths, finding with satisfaction that there was plenty of water on the eastern side of the strait to sail through. He was about to give the helmsman a course adjustment to veer around the diver when the exec called out again.
"Sir, I think you better take another look. There's someone on the shore that appears to be signaling us."
The captain grabbed the binoculars a second time and looked ahead. The ship had advanced enough that he could now clearly see Dirk in his blue dry suit swimming along a floating Y-shaped log. Wedged into the log's joint was a 55-gallon drum. He watched as Dirk waved to the shore, then pushed away from the log and disappeared under the water.
The captain swung his gaze toward the shore, where he spotted Summer wading up to her chest in the water. She held a shard of wood over her head that appeared to be burning. He watched in disbelief as she flung the burning stick out into the channel toward the floating log. When the burning embers hit the water, the surface immediately ignited in a thin burst of flames. A narrow trail of fire slowly snaked to the floating log, engulfing the driftwood in a flickering blaze. It took just a few additional seconds for the gasoline vapors inside the barrel to ignite, erupting in a small explosion that sent the shattering drum careening across the water. The captain stared bewildered at the fiery scene, then finally came to his senses.
"Full astern! Full astern!" he shouted, waving his arms in excitement. "Then someone get me the Coast Guard!"